Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Time, the only guarantee. If I can draw your attention to Genesis, to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15b. 15b, the middle of it says, "For the Lord your God will bless you in all of your harvest. For the Lord your God will bless you in all of your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete." Before I take another step, I'm stretching my hand across the room. I'm stretching my hand towards the camera, and I speak this blessing over you this morning, that may the Lord your God bless you in all of your harvest. May the blessing, if don't nothing else happen as a result of you being here today, may the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it, may it be on your harvest, may it be on the work of your hand, and may your joy be complete. That word joy, that idea that your joy will be complete. I couldn't help but just be just powerfully impacted by what my son was just saying just a few minutes ago. The idea that you cannot allow, I wrote it down, you cannot allow your present dysfunction to define your normality. God, what a powerful idea. I want to take it a step further and say that that's exactly what we have a tendency to do. It's just almost natural to allow what you see every day to become normal to you, even though it's dysfunctional. It's absolutely possible for people to have caused you to live in dysfunction outside of your own choices. Wasn't up to you, but you were saddled with dysfunction so much that it became normal to you, and now you're more comfortable with dysfunction than you are with function. And if I could take it even further, son, that not only can we not allow that to become normal to us and to define what is normal to us, but we also have to be careful because we've allowed our cultural dysfunction to define what church offers us and what's normal in church. So we are right now saddled with a concept of theology that is significantly impacted by the abnormality of our beginnings in this country, by our beginnings in this culture. It's very difficult not to have a slave religion and a slave mentality when you started off as slaves and your foundation. It's very difficult not to have still have a perspective of God from a slave point of view. Very difficult. It's just the challenge when we come together for church. What most of us define as church or see as church is extremely driven by the dysfunction in which we were born into and raised in. It's just normal to us. When someone says joy, I mean, the word joy itself is almost a churchy word. You meet somebody named Joy, chances are they mama went to church. Because I don't know if we really say joy. We say I'm happy, we say I'm glad, we say I'm excited. But when somebody says joy, just the word joy, it needs to have at the end of it, that your joy will be. We think of joy in a churchy way. I grew up hearing this joy I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I need a church, somebody with me. I said, this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And I'm not throwing shade at it because I'm here right now, and I'm alive and clothed in my right mind. Just like my grandmama would say, I'm clothed in my right mind. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where would I be. If it had not been for Jesus, I feel the anointing. I'm so glad he saved me. I'm so glad he raised me. I'm so glad he's the Lord of my life. And you know what? This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. That idea this joy I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's a concept, and I'll throw it on the screens, that in essence means it's a joy beyond or regardless of the circumstances. It's a joy that is beyond. It's a joy regardless of the circumstances. I speak it over you. I speak it over the thousands around the world. I speak it over myself. Somehow, I got to find a way to have joy that is my strength, a joy unspeakable and full of glory, a joy that the circumstance don't give and that the circumstance can't take away, because I'm going to be in trouble if my happiness or peace or smile on my face or joy is totally dependent on the circumstance, or totally dependent on who's president, or totally dependent on how much money I have, or totally dependent on whether or not they lay me off or not, or totally dependent on whether you like me or not, or totally dependent on whether or not I have a man, or totally dependent on whether or not I have a child, or totally dependent on whether or not my child acts right. I don't know who I'm talking to. Totally dependent on everything being perfect. If perfection is required for you to have joy, then we got some work to do in your life. I wouldn't be here if I didn't know how to smile in the challenging times. Oh my God. I wouldn't be here if I didn't know how to say, well, hallelujah, anyhow. If I didn't know how to say, well, God, you are still in control. Well, God, I'm so glad that you're in my life. I'm so glad this may not be perfect, but you still love me. They might not like me, but you're not. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who am I talking? I am who you say I am. They may say this, but this is who you say I am. Whose report will I believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. It is a powerful concept. I'm not trying to tear it down. I'm not trying to throw any shade at it. I want to set you up to let you know that I acknowledge that that perspective is extremely important to have. And all of us who have that are mature. All of us who have that are mature. But we also have to acknowledge that this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, is also a concept that is necessary when you're a slave. When you are in the slave state, when you are a permanent underclass, when you don't own as much property as the ruling class, when you don't have the same educational opportunities as the ruling class, when you're in the situation where you are being judged not by your content of your character, but by something that is not in your control, at some point you have to be able to say, well, I'm so glad that my joy doesn't come from the outside. My joy has to come from within. It has to be spiritual when it is never satisfied in the physical. I'm not saying that that's not powerful, but what I am saying is let's be careful that we only don't think about joy and complete joy in church. Because we have a tendency to say, well, if I'm gonna have joy, I have to have it in service. And really spiritual people will point at stuff and say, yeah, but that ain't no true joy. Take the world and give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything this old world could afford to give. Nice idea. Especially if you have no way to get gold, you have no way to get silver, you have no way to get any of the stuff that this world can afford to give, and a ruling class that dominates silver and dominates gold and dominates resources is not going to allow you to have it. And so they tell you, well, actually, you'd rather have Jesus more than a job. You'd rather have Jesus more than a house. You'd rather have Jesus more than silver or gold. And I'm here to tell you, I want Jesus and gold. My God, I want Jesus and your business plan, Leah. I want Jesus and I want you to own property. I want you to have a relationship with God, and I want you to have a retirement plan. I want you to leave your babies more than the Holy Ghost. I want you to leave them an inheritance. I want you to be a godly somebody and leave an inheritance for your children's children, children. And I refuse to allow a ruling class that taught you Christ to rob you of the real Word of God, which is global and not just Western. We have to ask ourselves, is this current gospel a global gospel? Or we're reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this a global gospel or is this a westernized gospel? Is this a gospel that we were taught to empower us and set us free? Or is this a gospel that we were taught to keep us enslaved and to keep us under the boot of our master? I can't help but ask you that question. Who told you that? Who told you that your joy should only come from church? Who taught us Jesus? Intermingled with their culture, all under the guise of being able to control heaven so that they can control earth. Because the way to really control you is to make you scared you're gonna bust hell wide open. So Harriet Tubman rolls in and says, I'm trying to set y'all free. And there were slaves that said, well, it wouldn't be a good Christian to run away from. Master been good to us, and I'm trying to be a good Christian. Who taught you that being a slave was being a... I have to move on. Who taught you that it is wrong for you to come together? Who taught you that we should not come together? Who taught you that Christ means that we should all see it the same? Told you that? Who right now has an agenda for racial reconciliation? Whose agenda is that? Who does that most benefit? To further divide a people, and we can't even worship together. We can't come together. We can't give together. We can't do something together. The devil is a liar. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A people divided against itself cannot stand. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. If you hate people that look like you, you are in trouble. What I'm saying to you is, I want to suggest another kind of joy. I need to calm down, but I get passionate when I think about my people. My people, my people. I can only imagine what it was like for Jesus to be born in Rome and walking around seeing people sick and enslaved and under the boot. And I can't imagine, we have no idea what it's like to see your walls down, but I do. Our people are harassed like sheep without a shepherd. The walls of Jerusalem are down. Raiders have come in and have taken our children from us. And if you think slavery doesn't still exist, you got another thing coming. When there are more black men in prison than are in college who are 17, the devil is a liar. And I want God to let my people go. God send us a deliverer. God send your anointing. God send it in this place. God give us somebody a vision. Lord, move by your spirit. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. We don't mind you blessing white churches, but can you do something for the black church? Can you do something for the black family? You don't like it? Turn me off. Plenty of folk to stream. Go stream somebody else. At this point, we need Christ for us. We need Jesus for us. And I want to suggest another kind of joy to you. And that's a joy that comes because your work, that he says, may God bless you in your harvest. May he bless you in your harvest. Not just bless you in your work, bless you in your harvest. We do the work, somebody else gets the harvest. Only but so happen we gonna be when we do all the work and somebody else gets all the harvest. My God, we are in service waiting for the Holy Ghost to fall on us. And a reason why we need so much Holy Ghost joy is because there's another joy that has been denied us because we do the work and somebody else gets the harvest. I need a witness in here. We do the work, someone else gets the harvest. He says, may God bless you in your harvest. That you will harvest. My God. That you will harvest. My God, I speak it over every single somebody with faith that will be determined to receive it. That you will harvest, that you will realize that you're a worker and not a harvester. Because in my estimation, there's almost nothing worse than work with no harvest. Work with no harvest, son, makes you bitter. Work with no harvest makes you smoke weed. Work with no harvest makes you club. Work with no harvest makes you go to strip clubs. Work with no harvest makes you lose all sense of any kind of morality. Work with no harvest causes you to be somebody that has to live by your feelings. Because what else can you do but get high when you work with no harvest? My God said, well, for your joy to be complete, it's not just the joy that the world can't give you. Praise God for that. But it'd be nice if you worked and harvested. Have I lost the room this morning? I'm not trying to walk too heavy, but I am, because I'm trying to challenge us in what we desire when we pray. Just a good little job that pays me my good little money and gives my good little thing, and I just get up every day and I just go in there and I just work for it. I don't want no problems. I don't want no drama, and I don't want none of that, and I don't want any of the, I don't want none of the responsibility, and I don't want none, I don't want the headache, and I don't want, you're right, you don't want that, but you also don't want harvest either. Because if you never own the field, then you never get a harvest. If you never own the field, then you never get a harvest. And what God said is, may God bless you in the work of your hands, and may there be a harvest time, because harvest time is guaranteed. Harvest is season, and season is time. Harvest is season, and season is time. I grew up in a time when you weren't always sure what time it was. Nobody wants to say amen because they don't want to acknowledge that they're as old as me. But you used to pick up the phone to call to see what time it was. Don't make me call you out. I'll just start looking for grace. And they told you, come on, Elder Paul, wave at me now. They told you at the tone, the time will be 8:45 and 30 seconds. At the tone, the time will be 8:45 and 50 seconds. The weather is this, the blah, 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 at the tone, because your watch and your watch and your watch and you could actually get someplace and say, I'm late. Amen, boy, that's right. You could actually be like, oh, I'm 5 minutes late for work. I'm 10 minutes late for work. Oh, and you actually have the excuse to say to somebody, well, what time do you have? Oh, what time is it? What? Oh, my God, I don't know. Oh, my clock is it when I'm on? Where is now? That's absolutely impossible. It is not possible because of this. This right here has removed your ability to say, I lost track of time. You are lying. You are alive from the pit. You know exactly what time it is. Right now, you know. You right now, you're saying, I thought he was saying he was going to keep us for 30 minutes. What time is it? 11:29, baby. See, I can't be like, oh, well, on my clock. No, don't nobody care what's on this watch. We all know what time it is. Everybody look right now. Pastor Andy, when is the Harvest Festival? When is Biscuitville closed? What time is it? 11:29. Let's go wrap this up. What I'm saying is that there's no argument about time. I wish that I could guarantee you everything. There's only one thing I can absolutely guarantee you, and that is that in a minute, it's going to be 11:30. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where when you leave early to get there, there's no traffic. All right, baby, this is just me. You are like, I am going to be there at 11:30, so I am going to leave at 11 o'clock. I'm going to give myself more than enough time, and you get there at 10 past 11. Where's my witnesses? Then you think, oh, it's only 10 minutes away. It's 15 minutes away. And the minute you decide to get there in 15 minutes, that is the very moment when all hell break loose. When you are driving behind somebody slow, I don't know if you've ever been driving behind somebody slow, and it makes you wonder, are you saved? I think I should get a witness in the building. I have to question my salvation just about every week, and I'm the pastor. Especially getting behind somebody driving slow. I think I told y'all the story one time how I was driving behind somebody slow and I had a collar on because I was on my way to a funeral. I was in robed in the proper attire for to be a reverend, and I had a collar on in my robe, and I forgot, and I got behind somebody driving slow, and I got to honking and beeping. I wasn't cussing. But I got to honking, and this is ridiculous. And as I passed somebody whose eyes is this high above the wheel, and I looked over to say, why do you have a license? And I caught myself in my rearview mirror, and I had my collar on, and so I said, praise the Lord. I made the sign of the cross. Dominus vobiscum et cum pater noster qui est in caelis. Because why did I do that? Because I was annoyed. I can't tell you how many times I have said to God, stop the clock. Just stop the clock. Lord, just give me 5 more minutes. I'm about to be there. Just give me 7 minutes. Can't you just stop the clock? Can't stop the clock. Time is the only thing that's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. I don't care how much kale you eat, you're going to die. I'm off kale. I have decided, once these gray hairs popped in here, Mark, I said, well, if gray gonna come anyway, I might as well have a Snickers, my God. I rebuke kale. I bind all kale in the name of Jesus. Kale is from the devil. Put that in an Instagram. It's a demonic vegetable. I don't feel no kind of Holy Ghost on no kale. Give me some greens with some fat, with some pork in there. Ooh, I feel God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Cook them yams down till there's nothing left but sweet. Woo! I feel Jesus. I ain't had no Zimbabwean food, but I'm going to come. I want a free meal. But I'm telling you, I don't want no crunchy vegetables, I'll tell you that much. I don't know if I'm going to have gray anyway, I'm eating soul food, baby. Oh, yes, I am. If I'm going to have gray anyway, I might as well have a biscuit. Elder Paul, you might as well have a biscuit. Pastor Al, it's biscuit time. If there was ever a time for a Kit Kat, it's now. If there was ever a time for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, oh, Jesus, what a blessing, what a blessing. If there was ever a time for that, it's now. I bind kale. Why? Because time is a constant. I told my daughter, when I'm 90, let me eat what I want. I'm going to die of something. It might as well be soul food. If I'm 90, right? Thank you. Time is a constant. Time waits for no man. You can't stop time. The only thing I can absolutely guarantee you is that there will be a time. Time moves. Seasons change. You don't have to like it. It's getting cold now. Genesis 8, 4 minutes. I'm done. Verse 22, what happens is in verse 20, Genesis 8 says, Noah builds an ark to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrifices a burnt offering on it. It starts off with the fact that there's an altar, that all of us have got to build an altar. All of us have to realize that sacrifice is required. That God smells the aroma and is pleased, because God's pleasure is a factor in this. In verse number 21, as a result of God being pleased, God says, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of their heart is evil from childhood. So God commits to never curse the ground, even though people are raggedy. I didn't think I'd be the only one that'd be like, thank God for that. Because it's possible for somebody to convince you that because people are evil, your area is cursed. But God says here in Genesis that I'm not going to curse an area because there's evil people in it. So that means it's absolutely possible for you to live in an area with a bunch of evil people, and your ground, the ground that you are standing on, I'm going to speak that, it's absolutely possible for you to be working in a company and everybody there is evil, and God says, yeah, but I'm not going to curse all of it because they're evil. As a matter of fact, wherever you go, they'll be blessed. Wherever you put your feet, I'll bless that. Now, the city may be demonic, but where you put your foot, never again will I allow raggedy people to make the city raggedy. Never again will I let raggedy folk make the world raggedy. I'm not going to get mad again at the earth over the raggedy people in it. I'm not going to do that no more. That's a word. It's a word, because you can live in whatever country you're living in America, and you can shake your head and think to yourself, my God, Lord, what are you going to do with America? And folk can make you afraid and as to whether or not we are a godly country or not. But God said, yeah, no matter how raggedy the people are, I will never let the ground be cursed as a result of the raggedy people in it. That's a word. Because I understand how people are. God understands we are human. He said, I get it. I'm the one that made you. I know every inclination of your heart is evil from childhood. That means it don't make no sense anybody in here being fake, because God knows what you was like when you was a child, and he knows what you like now. Matter of fact, God is saying there's some stuff that was in you when you was two that's still there. I get it. God is saying, I get it. I'm not going to do that. Then God says something powerful, and I'm just going to read it, and I'm out of time. He says, as long as the earth endures. Verse 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So listen, let me tell you something. No matter what folk do, no matter what folk say, no matter how folk act, whether folk are saved or not, time will keep moving. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will work. Even if everybody else is wicked, seed time and harvest will work if you work it. Post-COVID, it'll work, my God. After no matter what, the economy's in. Yeah, but God says, that's true. But I'm giving you a guarantee that even if you're weeping in the night, the sun will shine again, and there will be joy in the morning. Don't ever think your night will never end. For anybody in here or anyone around the world who is in a midnight season, that's all right. Joy will come if you hold out. Just keep on moving, sweetheart. You just lost someone close to you, joy will come. You just lost a situation, joy will come. Don't allow the despair of the moment to completely dominate your perspective, because God said, yeah, you might be in the night, but day will come. You might be in the cold, but heat will come. You might be in the winter, but it's going to be spring before you know it. Time is a guarantee. And that for us, beloved, in our understanding of God, in our understanding of the Spirit, in our understanding of the anointing, we also have to understand what God said won't change. God is saying, I'm telling you right now, as long as the earth endures, you will get older. As long as the earth endures, the season you're in now will at one point end. Whether it is the fattest, greatest, most wealthiest, most popping season, God says, yep, awesome. But you better put something in a barn, because your high season won't last forever. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so even if everything is killing for you, that don't mean that you should waste everything. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody at the highest moment wasting everything. I refuse to allow our lack season to make us believe that lack will last always. The devil is a liar. I speak harvest over us. Can I speak it? I speak harvest over us. I speak harvest over us. I think harvest is due. I think harvest is due. I think most of us are the ancestors of people who barely ever saw harvest. Harvest is due. If there's anybody harvest is due for, harvest is due for us. And I speak a wealth transfer in the name of the Holy Ghost. I speak God moving by His Spirit. I speak God smiling on us. I speak for good leadership, leading us to a place in which we realize that it is time for our season to change. I speak faith in this room. I pray your faith will come up. I pray that you will believe God for more than your granddaddy ever had. I pray that you will not waste the sacrifice of your ancestor, and that you will actually believe that your latter shall be greater than your former. And that just doesn't mean you. That means generationally. I'm telling somebody that your grandmama walked around saying, and my latter shall be greater than my former. She was talking about you. She spoke things into your life. There is favor that is available to you if you will only believe it. If you will only believe. This faith was paid for in blood. And we are now at a season in which it is time for harvest. And so I speak harvest over you. I speak harvest over me. I speak harvest over our children's children. I speak harvest over every sound, every person under the sound of my voice. God, I speak harvest on us. I pray, God, for witty inventions and ideas. I pray, God, that the dream of our small business will come alive. I pray, God, for leaders that care about us and not just themselves. God, I pray that your glory would be revealed in us. I pray, God, that in spite of what the conspiracy might have been against us as a people, that you will pull us together and strengthen us together, and that we will come together and believe you. That we will cry out for your justice. And we'll believe that you're able. And God, I pray for every individual person in this room, everyone that sacrificed some of their time to put their seats in this seat. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice around the world, around the area that decided, I'm tuning in today, and gave you almost 2 hours of their time. I pray, God, that they will receive a great return on that investment, and that you will break the yoke in them. That they will understand the season that they are in. God, I pray for my people. I pray, Lord God, that you will deliver us from the hand of the enemy. I pray that you'll lead us and guide us into truth. Have your way in us from the inside out. Fill our lives from the inside. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. If you heard a word from the Lord today, put your hands together and bless him. Can I get you to give really quickly? Can I get you to give to the building fund in that moment? If you need an offering envelope, just simply raise your hand. If you need a pledge card, you can raise your hand. Raise both hands if you need a pledge card. I still need people to make a pledge. And we've gotten some good pledges, and it's coming in. But if you have yet to make a pledge to Victory Park, can I get you to make a pledge today? We are about to build a building. It's going to be somewhere around $15 million. The land is not far from here. It's about less than 3 miles from here. Somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong on that, who actually knows that. I think it's less than 3 miles. You go down, it is less than 3 miles. So you go down, take a left, it's on 70. There's a sign out there, and we have this vision that we are doing together. And my vision is that we will build something more than just a church, that we will actually build a building. I'm calling it Victory Park. I'm thinking of it as an area, almost like a sports complex type place. Not almost, that's what I want to build, with soccer fields and basketball courts on the outside. And when you go inside, there'll be a cafe to your right with Wi-Fi and all of that stuff, and to the left there'll be nursery space. There will be children's ministry on the property. And then, but in this building, you'll walk in and there'll be a court and a court and a court and a court, with a sanctuary about this size in the back, and that people will be on the property all the time. I'm believing God for something that is state of the art. I'm believing God that we will be able to come together and build something together that don't look like it was us. I'm gonna make everybody clap, but I'm gonna make them clap today. I'm gonna make everybody clap, make them clap. I'm gonna make it clap to that. I want you to know that's already been world overcomers. It's already been world overcomers. I can't tell you how many times somebody has come here and walked in and in that lobby. I can't tell you how many reporters have come in and walked in that lobby and looked at me and shook their head and thought to themselves, there's no way, there's absolutely no way that black folk did this. And I'm like, oh, no, this right here is black people. I think there was a time when I had a desire to be multicultural, and at this point now, I, in a sense, I'm glad, because if we had been too multicultural, then folk would have attributed our level of excellence and our technology and us being timely and us being a certain way and accountable and a room like this, they would have attributed that to the white people that were with us. But because this is predominantly a black church, about 99.9% of black folk, we have a few white folk in here, mostly men married to white, the black women, and we just count y'all. And we have a few, we have some other white folk in here, but mostly this is a black church. I'm gonna make everybody say amen on that one. This is a black church. I said, this is a black church. Half this church is men. As a matter of fact, I've been meeting with the top 50 givers, and all of the top 50 givers of World Overcomers are men. I'm gonna make everybody clap on that one. I said, all of the top 50 givers are men. It's a man's church because I said it was a man's church because we need men to stand up. My God, for too long we let women do all of the leading in our community, and now we have a halfway nerve to be critical of how it was done when we are the ones who decided to abandon our own community. The devil is a liar. It is now time for men to stand up and men to be counted and for men to lead. And I've been saying it for almost 20 years, World Overcomers is a man's church. That's why you see men serving, because I only let men do these things, because I know that when I have men leading, where you think the women gonna be? Where you going, girl? I'm going down the world over my car. That's right. Because when men worship, everybody go. I wish I had a witness in the building. And gentlemen, it is time for us to come together and lead in our own community. It's time for us, every man, needs to have made a pledge. You ought to have pledged at least $2,000, at least $2,000. You're a man, you ought to have pledged at least $2,000. I want to say at least $5,000. Work an extra job. Work an extra job and give it to the kingdom and establish something and drive by that thing with us and see kids going in and out of there and see a young kid go in and walk into counseling and guidance and have access to a level of information that we provided. I'm gonna make everybody clap for that. That we did. I'm not saying I don't want your help around the world. Please help me. Wherever you may be. But it's time for us to sow and give. And if you've never given before, I need you to give now. I need your help, because we are going to do this. And we've got about 2 years left on this lease. And I want you to know, I've said it before and I'm saying it again, BPG is robbing us. BPG is robbing us. The company that owns this spaces is robbing us. The minute we get out of here, the minute we own, our payment will be about half of what it is here. So, beloved, this isn't even a hard decision. It makes absolute sense for us to no longer lease. This has been nice. It's been a nice thing to do. And we have certainly grown and God has blessed us. But the time is now for us to own our own property. We own other property and we own this property, but it is time for us to own our own building. It is time for us to be the lender and not the borrower. It's time for us to be able to use the fat that we're giving to a company for whatever their agenda is, for us to be able to pour that into our own people, our own community. Can I get you to help me to do that? I need your help around the world, around the area. I need your help. I need you to give like never before. I have a vision, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. This is just me, to build a building that generates costs 30 days out of the month that you pay for 4 days a month. That doesn't make any sense to me. There's a part of me that I just see this thing being rented out for tournaments and practices, and it's just generating income on a regular basis. Even the sanctuary itself, I mean, we will worship there, but I also see it being used for stuff in the plays, and in my estimation, it is time for the church to spill out of the four walls. Can I get a witness in the building? To spill out of the four walls. It is the vision that the Lord has given me. I've had it for a while. And it's time. I need your help. If you haven't made a pledge, I need you to make a pledge. If you haven't given, I need you to give. If you made a pledge, I need you to pay on the pledge. I need you to start. When I take these second offerings up, and you all know, World Overcomers, I don't take up second offerings. I don't beg for money. Not something I do. Everything we've done, I have never raised money for it. I didn't raise money for these chairs. I didn't raise money for these lights. I didn't raise money for the carpet. I didn't raise money for it. We just were wise and we were smart and we just sacrificed and we did what we were supposed to do. So it's very, very easy. I mean, you gotta know if you can tell, but I'm very comfortable because I ain't really never asked y'all for a whole lot. This has never been a church in which I've asked. I just wanted you to tithe. Just be faithful. But now, not only do I need you to tithe, I need you to be generous. We've been here 18 years, and it's time for all of this praise and preaching to turn into dirt. Amen. Amen. Dirt. And I believe that as we get dirt, you'll get dirt. I speak dirt over your life. I speak dirt over your life. I speak that you will do something with your money that has to do with assets and not just liabilities. I speak that over your life. I speak that your money will be currency, that it will never stop moving, that you'll be worth more than you spend. Oh God, may it be so. I pray for millionaires in this room. I pray for millionaires around the world. I pray that God will make something happen for you in a moment. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this time. Thank you for this service. Thank you for the Harvest Festival. Thank you for this service that we had. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally. Thank you for the vision. Thank you for this thing that's about to happen. We want to be a part of it. We don't want to say, look what they did. We want to say, look what we did. This is our church and our community. We pray, God, that you will use us for your glory in this moment. Have your way in us. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. Every business owner that gives out of their business, every single individual person that sacrifices some of their coffee money to the upbuilding of the kingdom, God, I pray that your glory would be revealed in us in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you so much for your generosity. As the bucket passes, you can just jump on your feet. And I've been so determined to try to let you out of here at 11:30. And it didn't happen today. And you all can blame Manny Arango for that. And no, it's me too. It's me too. It's me too. But it was good for us to be here. Amen. And we're excited for all of you that are around the world. We're excited you're with us today. And children's ministry is open back up. It's not just going to be today. It's going to be from now on. And so we've got all of these protocols in place. And so if you've been waiting to come back to church for when we had children's ministry, we've got it. And you certainly are free to come back and worship with us. We'll be back here next Sunday, first Sunday. And we will certainly bless the Lord. We've got revival that's about to happen after that. We got some powerful, powerful speakers that are coming through on Sunday mornings. And that's going to be a real serious, powerful blessing. And we want you to know about that. And immediately following this, what happens is still stuff in the lobby, right? Harvest Festival stuff's in the lobby. I can't hear you, huh? Yeah. Harvest Festival starts now. There's food trucks in the plaza. And just with your kids, just have a great time. We've done Harvest Festival forever, and we're going to celebrate the harvest time. And I was raised where you couldn't celebrate Halloween. But I'm trying to see, do I have a witness? Was there anybody like that was raised? Holy Ghost, that was the devil's night. Where's the saved folks at? You couldn't go trick-or-treating, and you... It was not allowed. So we'd had Harvest Festival. It was like a fake Halloween. It was a way for you to get candy. Come on, can I get a witness? And there's some of us who snuck out anyway and just was demonic and trick-or-treated. But so we're having this. And you're more than welcome to have a great time. Food trucks are out there. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for this word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you for all the visitors that were with us in the room and around the world. Lord God, thank you for Leonardo Williams being here with us, Lord God, and we pray for him and his family. And God, we pray for this next moment in the history of our area. We pray, Lord God, for our moment in time. Pray for everyone around the world, folk in Nigeria and folk in Ghana and folk in Australia and folk in India and all the people that are watching us around the world. For everyone that's in America, Lord God, I pray your kingdom would come and your will be done. And I thank you for this moment. Now, God, you have moved by your spirit over us. And so you made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. Stretch forth your hand and heal and move and work a wonder and a miracle and have your way in us. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great time at the Harvest Festival and with your children. And we'll see you next Sunday.